Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're in the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studios in New York City. Ooh. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, is brought to you by Geico. Great news. You can save a bunch of money. You got to switch to Geico, though. So you just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. PharrellOnTheBench.com. It's F-E-R-R-A-L-L. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Rocking. Great things are happening. Trust me, in October, you're going to freak when you see the site. Killer football picks every week, every day. It's simple. College football pros, nobody touches me. 79% week one NFL bets all covered. And 64% college football on Saturday. Documented all straight up. That's it. Boom. Baseball through the World Series. Boxing, MMA, everything. Even into hockey and basketball season. You know you get every pick, every play, every day. All the picks are ranked. Great results. Phenomenal price. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Sign up today. So anyway, I want to go back to Carver High, the Jameis Winston thing. So, you know, he's playing tomorrow night or whatever it is in Charlotte, right? And you know that he had, and we talked to Ozzie the sports junkie. We talked to him about the Buccaneers and how bad this guy has been, right? Three picks, three sacks in the game against San Francisco. You saw it. What was it, two pick sixes or just one? Sherman was a pick six for sure, right? So do you think that he's going to have, you know, these continued disaster games with all these interceptions and that his actual time is running out as the quarterback of the Buccaneers? Because, you know, it says here, right here, this article by Mike Tanier, that you gave me that basically says his days are numbered in Tampa. What do you think, Carver High? Do you think the guy's going to – oh, he's on the phone. Mafia, do you think he's going to get any better? Do you think he's –
No, I don't. I mean, it's been years. The guy's been there, and it's not just, oh, well, you know, we're worried about the off-the-field stuff anymore. The off-the-field – on-the-field product is just not enough. I mean, this is a guy who's drafted extremely high. This is a guy who's supposed to be the savior of the franchise. He was supposed to be, you know, the greatest thing since sliced bread, you know. Him and Mariota both have been complete letdowns since they came to the NFL. I think Mariota's been a little bit better, but Jameis has been terrible. He throws bad picks all the time. You know, they can talk all they want about these 300-yard games he puts up, but when he's throwing the ball to the other team, he's just not good enough. I'm not surprised they didn't give him any new deal and they just picked up the last option as his last chance. I was kind of surprised they still kept him around. I thought they might make a move with Arians, with a new coach, try to start over and build for the future with a new QB, but I don't think he's going to last. I think he's going to be one of those guys that starts bouncing around as a backup.
He's been an interception machine since he was the first overall pick in 2015. He was benched in favor of Ryan Fitzpatrick after throwing 10 picks in four games in the middle of last season. He had four multi-interception games in 2017. He finished second in the NFL in interceptions in 2016. His career interception percentage of 3.1% is higher than those of Eli Manning, Blake Bortles, and Richard Sherman, pick six victim, Matt Schaub, Ryan Tannehill, and every successful quarterback in the NFL. He's thrown 61 career picks, two fewer than Russell Wilson, who has thrown 1,300 more career passes and eight more than Wentz and Prescott combined. He also had an interception problem in college. He threw 18 picks in his final season at Florida State. Outrageous. Baker Mayfield threw 14 in his final two seasons combined. He regressed after winning the Heisman Trophy as a freshman and entered the NFL a year before he was ready, and he's been forcing passes ever since. He's been a disaster.
Yes. I mean, we talked about it years ago. Like they said, you know, even in Florida State, he had troubles with that. And that was one of the big knocks I felt with him coming in. Not just the immaturity, it was that the guy didn't take care of the ball. And if you're not going to do that in college, I worry about you doing that in the pros. You know, it's the same thing when the Jets went and picked Sam Darnold last year. I was worried about the picks in USC because if you can't keep the ball in your hands against lesser talent, what are you going to do when every defensive back is good? So this guy has not gotten better. You know, you can say all you want about the – well, you know, it's rookie year. People explain that away all the time. You're like, you're not going to be good the rookie year. You make those mistakes. Okay. He hasn't gotten better since, and it's been years. And it just showed you by those stats right there. I mean, that's embarrassing that he has a worse percentage than Bortles and Tannehill. Where are those guys? Both those guys, their team's kicked him to the curb already. Still, Tampa hung with him.
So do you think they're going to give up on him? Carver High, the Buccaneers are about ready to cut the leash.
This is his last shot this season. This is it. It's, what is it, Fisher cut bait, right? This is the end of the line. Either he gets it done this year, shows he can win, or at least be, look, sometimes is it always entirely the quarterback's fault if you do not win games? Of course not. Not always, but last week, it was his fault.
It was.
This is his year. He's got a show. He's got a quote-unquote quarterback guru coaching him now. Bruce Arians, right? Big offensive talent. So go get it done this year or else you'll be out.
So how do you think he'll do against the Panthers tomorrow night? Same thing, couple picks. He throws two every game.
Yeah, it's tricky. It's always tricky for the road team on these Thursday night games unless there's a really large gap in talent, which there is not in this case. You know, it's hard for the road team to go and win on these Thursday nights. That's what is the tough part. Now, Green Bay went and won in Chicago last week. So, anything can happen. But that's also the first game of the year. They, you know, now you're starting to get in where you're playing on Sunday and you got the short weeks.
Yeah, and you don't like road teams on those Thursday games.
Unless the road team is considerably better,
more talent
than the team that you're going in to face. You know, that would be the only time that I like to get involved with a road team on a Thursday night.
Did you see, I just wanted to say this, I'm just watching him right now. You see your boy Sonny Gray throwing a 2-0 gem in Seattle in the bottom of the seventh. He's throwing a shutout. He's throwing 104 pitches. He looks like Cy Young.
He's got a no-hitter through six.
Is that what he's doing?
Yeah.
It's a no-hitter? Well, that'll ruin that. He'll give up a hit right here. Got a no-hitter with two on. They obviously walked or whatever. So he's having a great night, but
but must be losing the control now.
There goes the hit. That's an out, though. Beautiful play, right field.
We talked about this a billion times. This is the Cincinnati Reds and the Seattle Mariners playing a meaningless Wednesday night, mid-September game, and he's getting it done because there's no pressure, nobody cares, and he's pitching like the talent that he has to pitch. When he gets put under the microscope, when he pitches in a big spot.
So if he was pitching for the Yankees, which we already saw, or the Dodgers, or any big time, he would be just getting lit up.
He'd get racked.
Red Sox, Cubs.
Can't pitch in a big spot. He proved it. His two seasons in New York, he proved it.
Cody in Baltimore on the Fan. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Scotty. Thanks for having me, bud. Love the show.
Thanks, dude. Here's a drive to the wall. Let's see if they catch this one. There goes the no-hitter, a home run, a three-run homer for Sonny Gray. The lead, too, a three-run bomb. Now those Jones standing on the hill.
Did I just jinx that?
Yeah, I guess, but I think I did. The minute you say the guy's got a no-hitter, it ends every time.
Only got a second home run this season.
That's pretty much it. I want to switch gears on you, Scotty. I'm going to keep it real easy. You were just talking about the Bucks and the Panthers. Well, I'm curious. Do you think the Carolina Panthers have a snowball's chance in hell of reaching the postseason this year?
I'm a fan. I like Cam Newton. I like McCaffrey. And, you know, this team has got some players on it for sure that I think can get it done. But I think it's going to be difficult, to be honest with you, in their division because I just don't think they're as good, frankly, as you know, everybody else does. I think that they have have to deal with the Saints. I think that's a problem. And I still think that Matt Ryan and Julio Jones and that Falcon team offensively can go toe to toe with anybody. They look terrible against the Vikings. But are you willing to go Carver High with that? that Ryan and the Falcons are better than the Buccaneers and the Panthers, or do you think it's Saints-Panthers?
No, I think the Falcons are better than them. And the hard part for the Panthers is I don't think that they're one of the 6 to 8 best teams in the NFC right now.
Yeah, I don't either.
I just don't. You look around the conference, I mean, it's pretty easy. You know, Eagles, Cowboys, Rams, I think the Seahawks are better than them. Bears, Packers, Vikings, Saints, Falcons possibly. That's a lot of teams that I think are better than the Panthers, and it's a tough hill to climb for them.
So I have to say, do you believe that Cam Newton, that the shoulder will give out at some point this season and he'll start having problems?
I think that he's already having problems. Did you see him throw the ball with a lot of zip or a lot of confidence on Sunday in that game against the Rams? Honestly,
well, I mean, they came back in the game. I thought that it was more McCaffrey than anything
else.
Well,
he didn't come back in the game zipping the ball down the field 20, 30, 40 yards, did he? He didn't have a lot. Honestly, his arm, he looked like Eli Manning last week. His arm.
Yeah.
Arm strength-wise, looked like Eli Manning.
So that's a real problem, is seeing if his career is now going off the cliff.
He could still move. He could still make plays. He could get, but can he throw the ball?
Can he throw a rope?
Can he throw ropes anymore? I didn't see it Sunday.
It could be, the beginning of the end.
And I'm not saying maybe it's gone forever. Maybe it's just not there yet from the offseason surgery. Because just like everybody else, most of these guys didn't play in the preseason. So, especially him. So, we'll see what happens.
All right, when we come back, we'll talk about Antonio Brown. He practiced with the Patriots. And his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, says that he's going to be cleared of all of these civil lawsuit charges of rape from this woman, multiple counts of sexual assault, blah, blah, blah. It's no joke what he's dealing with, but Drew Rosenhaus says it's just not happening. It's all going to work out. He's going to be cleared and everything else. How do you think that case is going to work itself out? And we'll talk about what Rosenhaus is, in terms of giving advice to Brown. I don't think Brown listens to anyone. I really don't. I don't even think he listens to Drew Rosenhaus. I think he sits on the phone with him and probably is watching TV while the guy's talking. But you tell me, do you think Brown is going to play for the Patriots? Do you think he's going to play this week? Do you think he's going to play this season? Do you think he's going to lose the civil lawsuit or win it? What do you think is going to happen to Antonio Brown? 855-212-4CBS.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
So Drew Rosenhaus, the agent for AB, Antonio Brown, says that Antonio takes the allegations very seriously. He's a loving father of 5 children, including a daughter. I myself am a father and have 2 children, 2 daughters, and I love them very much, along with my wife. I wouldn't be doing this interview if I didn't believe Antonio. These allegations are false. He denies every one of them. I'm confident his legal team has the facts that'll prove this. He emphasized it's a civil matter. He just kept saying, please allow the situation to play itself out. Antonio will cooperate. He'll cooperate with the Pats, with the NFL, with any investigation, with the NFLPA, and in time, Antonio will be cleared. These allegations are false. They are not true. They are absolutely not true. What advice is he giving him? He said, I'm advising him to let the truth come out. I'm advising him to concentrate on football. I'm advising him to cooperate with the Pats, with the NFL, the NFLPA. Antonio and I both strongly believe that the allegations are very serious, and in no way do we condone any type of illegal conduct, misbehavior. None of that happened here. This is a money grab. I'll repeat this. This is a money grab. In my opinion, this is a money grab. He said it 3 times. And then he was granted a castle in Ireland because of his 3 wishes. I'm just kidding. The accuser in Brown's view the accuser in Brown's view is a money grab. Rosenhaus pointed out that the latest allegations have nothing to do with the current turmoil surrounding Brown, from the frozen feet to the helmet to the Oakland wiretap of Gruden, blah, 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 and his release from the Raiders. Please keep in mind that Antonio denies these allegations. He will have a full investigation. He will go through the legal process, and we will cooperate, and that once the facts are out there, they'll come to light, establish that he indeed is not guilty of any of these accusations. This is a civil matter. This is a proceeding where the accuser is seeking financial gain. Some would say she's simply seeking compensation, not gain. Regardless, that's for the court to decide. In the interim, the NFL will have to decide how to handle Brown. The Pats will have an issue to deal with as well. I thought, this, let me just say, I thought that Belichick obviously was just an absolute pain in the neck with his response, right? Like, he's just so painful. Like, this guy, greatest coach in the league, bar none. All the rings, you can't deny his championship pedigree, but he does not deal with the media at all whatsoever. He will not answer questions about anything, football games or anything else. He's not, you just can't. Is there anyone more miserable on the face of the earth than Bill Belichick? He is the most miserable person to deal with in sports, bar none. He's basically become Bob Knight.
Well, let me just tell you something. I watched that today, and he looked even more miserable than usual. And you want to know why? Because everything, they walked off that field Sunday night, 33-3 beating of the Steelers, and everything is sunshine and rainbows. They tweeted out that locker room celebration, him giving the speech. Everything was sunshine and rainbows.
Now it's ruined.
And guess what? He walked into his next press conference this morning, and he got hit with 2.5 minutes of questions about a guy who wasn't even on the team 48 hours earlier. And he looked at the play, and he's, like you said, he's usually a pain in the ass to deal with no matter what. But he stood there, and it was just, he looked at them, and he just kept going, I'm not giving you anything about it. I'm not talking about it. And then after the 17th question, he just left. He's like, I can't do it anymore. Guy, I'm not talking about it. He looked so frustrated.
Very angry.
And the guy hasn't.
And they won by 30.
Yeah, but forget the game. He looked frustrated because he only wants to talk about football. That's why it was such a risk.
But he had to believe in this guy. You know, nothing goes through that team without Belichick.
Listen, I think he knew that he wasn't going to have to deal with the type of stuff that the Raiders deal with. Him and everybody else in that organization, they didn't know that 24 hours later they would be dropped with this in their lap. They didn't know that was going to happen.
But do you seriously believe at for any stretch that this guy's going to lose this case? Because I don't. I don't think he's losing at all. By the time they're done, he won't even have known her. By the time the lawyers are done with her, he won't even have met her. He doesn't even know her. She was never at his house. By the time they're done with him, watch. You'll see what happens to that woman. She's in for the worst nightmare of her life. Don't tell me that those lawyers that he's got aren't better than the one she's got. I don't care. I don't even know who it is, but I'm telling you, he'll have 15 lawyers to her one. Believe me, you. The guy that took that case has got an uphill battle because he's going against a guy with hundreds of millions of dollars. Why? What does she have? Nothing. He's doing it pro bono until if he wins, she'll get money. If he wins, he'll get his money off of what she gets. He's not winning. Do you really believe he's going to beat that guy in court and that guy's going to jail or that he's going to lose a civil rape lawsuit? And incidentally, how can you, I still don't understand it. How can you rape someone if it's true, right? Let's say you've sexually assaulted a woman multiple times. How are the police not involved? How is this just some kind of like go walk down to the courthouse on a sunny Wednesday afternoon and let's have a rape trial? How do you have rapes go down and the police aren't involved? She never went to the police. She doesn't even have a leg to stand on to begin with.
It's a lot harder to prove that, to get the police involved, to get them to do charges, especially later in something like this, because you don't have the physical evidence anymore. Anything that might have been there from this, you know.
Well, that's her stupidity.
Right, but I'm saying that the burden of proof is a lot tougher there, so they won't even go for it unless they have a good case. It's a lot easier to do it in
just
a lawsuit. That's why OJ got charged. You know, he didn't get charged.
But that's why they don't have a good case. She does not
have
a good case against this guy. She's just saying that he raped
her. We don't know yet what she has.
We don't know what the text messages say they allegedly have or these other things.
They'll laugh at those text messages.
I'm just saying.
Did you read his text messages to her? Did you see those? Somebody printed out today. Did you read them?
The emails?
Did you read them?
Yeah, I read them.
I mean, they're so disgusting, I can't even read them on the air.
I'm surprised you're able to read them, period. I mean,
it's like some kind of language
honestly,
I don't know.
Here's the other thing for me that this is just, you know, she's going to talk with the NFL next week. This is an NFL. I don't know how the NFL.
They'll believe her.
Yeah,
the NFL always believes her.
But here's the thing. Let's say, like you said, there's been no criminal charges. We don't know what's going to happen yet with the civil stuff. Who's the NFL to decide that
anything?
He's guilty? Like, hey, you know what? We talked to her today, and we don't like what she said, so we're going to go and sit you for 8 games, or we're going to suspend you indefinitely. Or it's so hard, and the NFL's been through this a billion times. You go back to things where they have suspended guys for no charges, whether it be Zeke Elliott. They didn't suspend Hill at all with all the stuff that happened with Hill over the offseason. I don't know how the NFL and Roger Goodell got involved in being – the decider of fate.
Once again, the arbiter.
With everything. That's my point.
And also the attorney's office in Miami-Dade found no prior police investigative contacts regarding the allegations or the individuals. And they're going to reach out to pertinent police agencies to determine if they have any prior contacts or investigations. If such exist, we would certainly be interested in those reports and any related evidence gathered. And then the Allegheny County in downtown Pittsburgh DA's office told ESPN that as a matter of course, it reviews information in a federal lawsuit whenever that information references potential criminal activity, even if the activity had not been previously known to the popo. That was my Pittsburgh accent while doing the Allegheny County DA's office investigation. I'll tell you one thing. So one of the rapes allegedly occurred in Pittsburgh. Don't tell me those people there don't want to see this guy go down the drain. Just so you know, let's just be clear. Everyone in Pittsburgh hates this guy dead. I mean, hate him dead. Like, you have no idea. You have no idea. They hate him dead. So I guarantee 100% of that city is rooting for him to go lose everything, go down the drain, his whole life and career. They'd love nothing more than to see him just absolutely drown in this. They can't stand him. Do you realize that, like, where are the biggest ratings coming from when it comes to talk about Antonio Brown? Remember in Hard Knocks, they said Pittsburgh, right? Everyone can't stand him so much they're obsessed with him. They watch him. They talk about him. They write about him. The talk shows can't stop talking about him in Pittsburgh.
Gene constantly talks about him.
Oh, just constant. It's just never ending. It's like the gift that keeps on giving. It really is. Real quick, Kevin in Houston. Kevin.
Yeah, for real. What's going on, man?
Hey.
Long time listener, first time caller. 6'5", 255.
Wow, we could use him, Mafia, on the team.
Yeah, so Antonio Brown, what's going to happen, I think, is Bill Belichick, you know, that organization is a real organization. And, you know, they're not going to let this kind of accusation kind of destroy this man right here and right now, I don't think. And, no, I think he's suiting up and he's going to play. And I think the NFL, for sure, the commissioner, he's going to come down on him and do something like they always do. But, you know,
well, so that would mean so that would mean if you, first you said he's gonna play, you said he'll play Sunday, and then you said but the Goodell's gonna come down on him and do something. Well, if Goodell comes down on him before, you know, Sunday, so like Thursday or Friday, and puts him on the exempt list, he's not playing football for a long time. And I'll tell you another thing, Roger Goodell, in my view, has had really nothing, frankly, on his plate of any consequence of any, you know, substance that's, you know, negative, like a real problem. He hasn't had a real problem, has he? Except this guy now. So that's going to move right to the forefront of his, right to the top of his desk. I mean, that guy now has a problem on his hands, and it's called Antonio Brown and sexual assault. And it's bad for the league. It's a bad look for the league. It's bad business for the league. And women will turn on this league like no one's business if this guy gets away with this, right? That kind of thing. So Roger Goodell is going to be all over this Antonio Brown saga, and he's going to make decisions. There's no doubt about it in my mind at all.
Decisions that he doesn't really know the answers to.
No, but he's going to make them anyway because he runs the world. He's not just the commissioner of the NFL. He's actually, he's God. I just wanted to be clear there. He is God.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, Kel in Seattle in the Pacific Northwest, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Pharrell.
Hey, man.
Last night I called and I made a point about Tennessee football, and I was the last call of the night, so I didn't get to make my actual point. Here's my point, and I'll just be real quick.
All right.
My hometown school, UNLV, is moving into that new stadium with the Raiders next year. There's going to be no way they can stay in the Mountain West. Do you see it? I'll take my answer off the air. Do you see them going to the Big 12, the Pac-12, or major independent? Thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, I don't agree with that at all because – I have to say that I think they're just an absolute horse-ass program. It's a terrible football program. It is absolute.
Not going anywhere.
It has been the most abysmal failure of a just hack football program if I've ever seen one. Like, I don't even want to hear it. Have they ever even, like, when is the last time, seriously, that they ever did anything? Like, win 6 games even? I mean, honestly, they're so atrocious. there is no way that the Big 12 or Pac 12, either one of them, would want him.
Well, they're worthless.
And like, and it's a joke of a program.
I guess what he's
I don't care what anyone in Vegas thinks either. I'm right.
Moving into some bigger stadium, and they're not going to be able to fill it. San Diego State has been playing in that dump down there forever, and that's an NFL-sized stadium, and they've been in the Mountain West forever. Nobody's come and knocked on their door to come take them out because they got a big NFL stadium that they're playing in. It doesn't matter. They're not leaving the Mountain West. No, Big 12 and the Pac-12 aren't going to be knocking on their door if there's so many other candidates in the Mountain West. They'd knock on their door. I don't know, maybe Boise, you know, somebody like that. They'd get their door knocked on to leave the Mountain West before UNLV ever would.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that, you know, here's the deal. The program is a joke, okay? Let's stop and just not even consider anything else. Let's just look at what it is. It is an absolute joke. Stop. Like, I live there. I used to do UNLV shows. I used to do basketball and football shows. When I lived in Vegas, I hosted all that, you know, stuff. And they sucked then, and they suck now. Am I wrong? They are terrible. And so I would agree with Carver High. If there's one team that literally that anyone would want in that conference to go bigger, it'd be Boise. Because they actually have a great football program, and they have a great team year after year. Program, successful coaches, one after the next to become successful. And UNLV, all they do is fire coaches and lose. Am I wrong? They played in that dump, Sam Boyd, for so long. It's like a crack hole. And then let's face facts, right? I mean, let's just stop with all this other nonsense. Nobody wants them. Now, listen, they're going to play at the new Raiders Stadium, and there's going to be two people there, the coach and a guy holding the first down marker. That's it. Like, who's going to UNLV football game? No one goes now. It's a basketball school. It always has been. And it's not even that anymore. It's not good at that either. They used to be great. The day that Tarkanian fell ill and stopped coaching at UNLV was the death of the program, if you ask me. Now, I love UNLV, and I always did. I loved doing Rebel shows. I loved the Tark. I loved everything about it. I used to love going to their basketball games, and it was like a Hollywood scene there on game night at their games at the Thomas and Mack. It really was. It was like going to a Hollywood show. It was like red carpet. It was a who's who of celebrities would be there. But now it's a joke. It's an absolute joke, and they have to take a real good hard look at their athletic program there because no one cares about it. Listen, Vegas, here's what they do in Vegas, right? They have UFC is now the king of Las Vegas, and boxing is hanging by a thread. They always talk about all these great fights in Vegas, and the reality is they don't have them. They don't have great fights there. They have crappy fights there. They have big fights that end up being crappy. Am I wrong? And then I've been to better fights at Staples. I've been to better fights in Carson. I've been to better fights in Dallas. I've been to better fights in San Antonio. I mean, I love going to Vegas to fights. Don't get me wrong. But you cannot sell me that, boxing is even better. The UFC owns Las Vegas now. The biggest events and the NHL.
The NHL and the NFL are about to own Las Vegas.
Oh, well, Vegas, the Raiders will take over Vegas. They're going to take over Vegas. Like, even if they suck, they're going to be bigger than the Knights and the UFC. But I think the UFC is a better product than the Oakland Raiders. I really do. The UFC is a $5 billion operation that runs month to month, and people love it. People love it. Mafia, you can explain this to people. I go to the gym to play basketball, right? When we're warming up, stretching, shooting baskets. No one is talking about basketball, ever. It's very UFC. Right. Every time, when is the last time you warmed up with me and didn't hear 15 conversations about the UFC fights?
Constantly and all the time, you know, we'll talk about big fights. There's only one guy that we could talk with fights there is our boy Foz because, you know, he's into it because of his father-in-law, Teddy. Otherwise,
Teddy
no one
Atlas.
Else knows what the hell we're talking about.
But no one cares about boxing at all, but they love the UFC and everyone talks about it. And Dana White and the UFC and Mark Ratner and all of them and the Fertittas, all the rest, they have taken that to a epic proportions, a level like sky high level. It's just an absolute skyscraper. It's just so popular. It's enormous. They own the T-Mobile, and they sell it out. They book their fights years in advance now for these events, right? So they're just doing events. We're going to have one here. They don't know the fights, but they know that they're going to have an event then. And they have multiple events there. They've taken over Las Vegas. The UFC runs Las Vegas. If you go down the strip or around Las Vegas anywhere, you'll see 50 billboards about fights. It's all about the UFC. Back in the day when I lived there, it was boxing. And they, Hagler Hearns, Saturday night, it was the greatest thing ever. Holyfield, Tyson, all these fights. I went to all of them, and that was the deal back then. It was the deal. But now it's not. It's the UFC. The Raiders will be hugely successful in Las Vegas with fans, and it'll, believe me, but here's what I'm hearing. They're gonna price it out. The average fan in Las Vegas will not be able to afford to go to the Raider games. That's what I've been told, that all the suites are for multimillionaires. It costs $500,000 a year for a suite to 8 football games, 10 with 2 preseason games. You get 10 games for $500,000. I think it's $500,000 for 10 games.
I was just
to
saying
have a suite.
That they're pricing out the UNLV games, too.
Oh, please. I'd rather honestly have the flu than go to a UNLV football game. Honestly, I know high school. You know what? What's a Bishop Gorman? They're better than UNLV. You go to, there's more people at the Bishop Gorman games. Am I wrong?
No, you're not. And you're talking about how UFC's taken over for boxing. I mean, it used to be. I mean, back in the day, there was the big fights at the Garden. And, you get the big ones at Vegas. And then Vegas just took them all over. All those stories you have about, the Hagler Hearns and Tyson fights in Vegas, things like that. It was all Vegas, like you said. There were some every now and then that you move around. Maybe it was at the Garden, like when we saw, Calzaghe and Jones Jr. and that one at MSG. But it was the Garden. Now, the biggest fights that we've gone to lately, I mean, first of all, when they are in Vegas, half the time they're not at the T-Mobile, which is made to hold this huge venue, more people, right? 2 Pacquiao fights that you just went to in the last year. Where were they? The Grand Garden Arena.
Right.
When we went to the heavyweight championship with Fury and Wilder, where was that? L.A. When you had Josh would just get upset by Ruiz. Where was that? The Garden. The rematch. Where is that? The UAE. None of them are going to Vegas anymore, like you said. And even when they are, they're going to the smaller venues. They're not even making the T-Mobile calendar.
Yeah, listen, it is what it is. I think the Raiders, I think the whole scene in Vegas will be enormous with the NFL. And I think there'll be Super Bowls there and Final Fours in that stadium, without a doubt. It's going to be magnificent. Look at, if they're putting them in Minnesota at the U.S. Bank, which is a great stadium, by the way, they're in Indianapolis at Lucas, they're putting them anywhere that they have a kick-ass stadium, right? So at Mercedes in Atlanta, right? These are people that are getting all the Super Bowls. And Vegas will be, and L.A., they're going to have a Super Bowl in Los Angeles at Inglewood as sure as I'm sitting here, right? I think they've already guaranteed it. So trust me, you. And they did it in Glendale, too, when they built that thing. They started giving, remember the Pats and Giants? 2021 is in L.A. Vegas is just right around the corner doing push-ups.
That's the carrot that they dangle in front of your face. It used to be the threat of, okay, we're going to take the team and move them if you don't build us a new stadium. And now the city's got hip to that and said, go ahead. You're not going to know where to go. But now they say, okay, we'll give you a Super Bowl and make you, millions of dollars for your city. And then they say, okay, we'll build you a new stadium.
And then if you do well and the Super Bowl does well, like remember when Indianapolis had it and they got rave reviews? Well, they're going back to Indianapolis.
Well, sure. Minnesota wants it again already.
And they're going to get it again.
The next available one, which is, you can kind of pencil this as probably going to be Vegas right now, is February of 2025.
There you go.
They are booked right now through 24. Miami this year, Tampa after that, going back to Tampa at Raymond James. Then L.A. at the new one, L.A. Stadium at Hollywood Park. Back to Glendale the year after that, and then back to New Orleans the year after that. So the next available one is February of 2025.
That'll be in Vegas.
Yeah.
Sure as I'm sitting here. And get ready for Final Fours, too.
Yeah, no, the whole deal. They'll have it all. And the thing that moving UNLV over there, and this will not even fill half the building, but now when teams do come in to play UNLV, you might get a little bit of a bigger road crowd coming in because it's going to be like people going to the night games from out of town. They want to go because it's in Vegas, a new stadium, things like that. But it's still, it's UNLV. It's not.
Yeah,
it's not going to even move.
Listen, they had better start cheating better.
They'll play that college football national championship there, too.
They had better, you're right. They had better start cheating as fast as possible in illegal recruiting because UNLV is so bad at football. I'm sorry. That they need to absolutely turn it around like no other. I mean, like no other. They need to get a winner there. You know what I mean? They have to have a winner. They got to get great players. And they got to win games because they haven't mattered in football ever, ever. So don't tell me that they're going to draw huge crowds to watch UNLV play football because no one gives a rat's ass about UNLV. Dave in Maryland.
Hey, Scotty, how about a shot and a beer?
Shot and a beer, in but an iron, shot and a beer, in but an iron, shot and a beer, puke.
Hey, the judge, jury, and executioner, otherwise known as Roger Goodell, is going to come down within the next couple days and hit Antonio Brown. He's going to put him on that exemption list.
Right.
He hates the bad publicity. The NFL lives on good publicity. Alienate, like you said, the women of the world, and that's the last thing they want to do. I'm just going to say, and this is a prediction, Antonio Brown will never see a snap with the Patriots.
Well, I mean, that's a strong statement, but I think a lot of people have said it, that it's either one or the other. He's either going to play or he isn't. What else is there? I mean, there really is no other choice, right? But I do believe that the odds are leaning, in my view. I'd be very surprised if they don't, for their own safety net, the league itself will put him on the exempt list based on, you know, can you have a rapist running around playing on the football field on Sundays? I mean, if this guy actually did it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.